It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A couple of positive economic readings today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The number of people filing for unemployment benefits for last week fell by 27,000. That Labor Department report is much better than analysts expected. Good news on the trade front today as well. The deficit, that gap between America's imports and exports, fell 14% in July. Beefed up exports are part of that story, certainly closely watched as an engine of economic recovery. And we're going to get more now from Washington and Marketplace's Scott Tong.
U.S. exports increased $2.8 billion in July compared to June, and almost all of that came from sales of what are called capital goods: planes, turbines, MRI machines, backhoes. Gary Huffbauer at the nonpartisan Peterson Institute for International Economics says we cry the blues over not selling enough stuff abroad, but American companies actually lead the world in making these high-end goods, and foreign customers are buying.
All this stuff is sensitive to the business outlook in the rest of the world and interest rates. Well, interest rates are extremely low, so any firm thinking of stocking up on capital equipment, there's a great time to borrow money, and they are borrowing money.
He thinks if Washington gives industry more help, as in access to credit and tax breaks, exports could add 1.5 percentage points to growth. Now, that's just the trade part of the economy. For a broader recovery, the American consumer needs to bounce back. And Huffbauer wants to see more government and private investment in things like clean energy and new roads. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Professional football kicks off tonight as the New Orleans Saints host the Minnesota Vikings at the massive Superdome. 40 years ago, bonds were sold to help build that stadium, which helped secure an NFL team. But some stadiums, like the old Giant Stadium at the New Jersey Meadowlands, have bonds to pay off despite the fact that they've been torn down. And that's because of a shell game of sorts, of publicly financed bonds. Stephen Malenga is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's with us live from New York. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So what tactics do these team owners use to get stadiums publicly financed? Connect the dots for us.
Well, you know, first of all, most leagues, professional leagues, have a limited number of teams, and so the teams can begin by threatening to leave, you know, either going completely to another marketplace or just in the case of New Jersey and the Giants and the Jets, leaving New York and going to another state. So that begins to put pressure on politicians right away, and also to a certain extent on taxpayers, although really I think taxpayers and fans in general don't really fall for that anymore. I think the real fault lies with politicians.
And what are the politicians doing to sort of muck things up?
Well, what they do is they use debt, public debt, to help build these stadiums. Essentially, these are bonds that go out decades, if you will. And two things generally happen. Either these stadiums don't pay for themselves in many cases, which leave the taxpayers on the hook. Or if the venue does happen to be successful, as in the case of the New Jersey Meadowlands, politicians can't help milking these things. They take the revenues and they put them somewhere else, and they don't pay off the bonds. It's kind of like the equivalent of not bothering to pay off your mortgage, and that eventually leaves taxpayers on the hook too. So it's like
double
a loser
jeopardy,
either way.
Right? Double jeopardy.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And the Giant Stadium is still being paid off, even though it's a parking lot now.
That's right.
Yeah. Where do these stadiums, very quickly, in just a few seconds, how do they get into trouble?
Well, the main reason they get into trouble is they're not quite the economic engines that politicians claim they are. The politicians give you a lot of studies which say this is going to do all this wonderful stuff, create all this economic activity. But most academic studies of these stadiums show that they only create low-wage service jobs. They don't really transform an economy. So if you expect that's what you're going to get, you're wrong.
Stephen Malenga, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Thanks.
All right.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, 0.5% to a full percent. Those trade numbers and the jobless claims, too, not hurting today on Wall Street. European stocks higher at the moment as well, and Asian markets closed mostly higher today as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
As more and more Americans have been laid off, office buildings have emptied, and at the same time, the housing mess has meant fewer homes are being built. That's hit architects very hard. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson traveled through Tennessee for a series that looks at how the economic downturn is being felt there.
Why couldn't you make me an architect? You know I always wanted to pretend that I was an architect.
Back in the boom real estate years of the 90s, Seinfeld's George Costanza wasn't the only person who dreamed of T-squares. But these days, after a severe collapse in both residential and commercial real estate, many in the business only have a part-time job. I met with Jason Gibson and Jennifer Atcher in a brand new brewery. It's in a Nashville neighborhood called The Gulch. About a decade ago, the city decided to transform this near downtown area, fill it with condos, office buildings, restaurants, and shops.
There are, of the three major buildings, one is bankrupt at this point, one is about 65% full, and one is only about 25% full.
So we are right in the middle of boom and bust Nashville right now.
Absolutely, yeah, you're right.
And the bust hit home for these two.
We were both laid off the same day.
They're not the only ones. Since the peak in the summer of 08, the number of employed architects nationwide has dropped by 25%. For Jennifer Atcher, the layoff meant cutting out luxuries and getting a roommate. And for Jason Gibson, it meant putting aside plans to buy a house.
You just continue to rent and pay the bills. And that's the biggest difference is really just living week to week, really, which is different than what I was used to with a paycheck coming in.
Architecture is a very difficult field to be in right now. Have you thought to yourself, I wish that I hadn't gone this route?
Well, it's interesting. You don't really realize how specific it is until you start to look at possibly going into other fields. But you do question yourself, and it's never evolving occupation. And I definitely think because of this recession, it's going to come out looking a little bit differently than it did when we went in.
Both Atcher and Gibson have been hired back as freelancers by their old firm. They get about half as much work as they used to. Unemployment covers the off weeks. They say they've gotten so used to their on-again, off-again jobs, it's become what they do. In Nashville, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And finally, this note, the Financial Times reports Kelley Blue Book is up for sale. The paper values Kelley between $500 million and $1 billion. Of course, that depends on the company's condition. Excellent, fair, dings or no dings. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.